Tess Tessalona is one of the coordinators of Montreal's Immigrant Workers Center, the IWC. The Immigrant Workers Center, among many other groups and organizations throughout Canada, actively fought against the open attempts of the Canadian government and Citizenship and Immigration Canada to deport Filipino domestic worker Melka Salvador and her five-year-old son from Canada. Melka Salvador's immigration situation for many people became a symbol of the countless flaws of Canada's immigration system and the resistance to them. Melka fought two different deportation orders from Immigration Canada during the campaign and eventually beat the efforts of Citizenship and Immigration Canada to deport her and her family to the Philippines. To this day, Melka remains in Montreal and is an active member and organizer with PNAI, Montreal's Filipino women's organization. On Tuesday, January 21st, Tess Tessalona of the Immigrant Workers Center gave a talk which drew the links between the fight to stop Melka Salvador's deportation and the fight of the over 1,000 non-status Algerians to halt their own deportations to Algeria. Algeria, a country where over 150,000 people have died in recent years due to a civil war. Here's Tess Tessalona speaking about the resistance of Melka Salvador and the resistance of Montreal's non-status Algerians to Citizenship and Immigration Canada.
I'm here in to speak about the parallels of the Melka Salvador campaign as with what's happening with the campaign with the non-status Algerians. It was one of those rare occasions when we have tasted victory. And I think for us, given the many struggles that we are fighting, it's important to learn from the lessons of why it was, and also at the same time give us inspiration to continue. And we feel that in a way this would be our contribution to the movement for change even here in Canada. Just as a first parallel, we at the Immigrant Workers Center see a lot of cases that are happening to the immigrant community. Just today in the news, there was a big announcement concerning the recent result of the national census that was taken just a year ago, and whereby they were, you know, there was this proud pronouncement that at the present time only 20% of immigrants to Canada came from Europe, and even they were saying that the top three contributing countries were coming from China, the Philippines, and the Latin American countries. They also mentioned about, of course, an increase in the immigration from the Middle East countries. And, of course, the tone of this report, including the interview, was to say that Canada has this humanitarian image in the world, which brings in people from all over the world, especially those who are needing help. There's really no mention about the conditions of people, why they come here, and also even of the conditions that they of how they were able to survive. Of course, we've heard a lot about the conditions in Algeria and the difficulties facing the people there, and this is why they come to Canada. And this is really not unique to Algeria. There are many parts of the world that are like this. A lot of gave a analysis of the system that makes this happen. And it's basically the ideology of capitalism which leads the underdeveloped countries of their resources, including their people, so that there's no choice for the people but to come and look for greener pasture. And seeing that Canada is one such place, then they come to places like Canada, America. Of course, in the end, this is very unsustainable. And so we would foresee that this is not the end of cases that are happening now. The cases with the Algerians, the cases with the Somalian family that you've heard about happening in the States. It's really also, it was also discussed earlier that the immigration policies are really tied to the capitalist ideology that is what that is happening to Canada and the rest of the Western society, the rest of the world now. These cases are seldom reported and seldom we know, except for when there are things that are happening like now, where workers who are in the front line like us come to talk to you and get invited in forums like this. And just over the last month before Christmas, I can tell you that several of the cases at the Immigrant Worker Center involve immigrants who come and don't have even 36 women to a duplex with only one heater for to boil their water. And so there was a case of a woman who was literally burned, got third degree burn with boiling water because she has to boil their water in order to have a bath. There's a case that came just before Christmas where the lady just gave birth to their first child. And has received deportation notice to leave. The deportation notice came on a Thursday, and they were supposed to leave on a Sunday. So with this kind of time limit that are even given to the people who are given deportation, how can there be mobilization to help these people? The husband, the partner of this woman, was turned out to be from Morocco, who lived in Israel and was coming to Canada to seek refuge here in order to avoid being drafted in the military. So even right, they left on January 26 because. Of difficulty of the situation here with no money and all. Of course, every day we see problems of workers who get illegally dismissed for one reason or another. And there are many, many other cases. But what elevates cases to our consciousness are people like the non-status Algerians and people like Melka Salvador, who were not afraid to be out there and fight for their rights. And in so doing, it doesn't only help, they only don't help themselves, but they help society to move forward and fight for other human rights violations. In the case of Melka, she at the time of the campaign, and I'm very happy to see some of the people here had been part of that campaign too. At the time, Melka had been living in Canada for 5 years, more than 5 years. She has a son who was 4 years, born in Montreal, and was terribly asthmatic. But although this son was born in Montreal, he does not have the same privilege as other Canadians because his status was attached to the status of his mother. And so with his all the time going to see a doctor, he doesn't even have a Medicare. And At that time, he also, as a young boy that should be in in school, because of his status, he has to stay at home. So when Melka received her first deportation order, we from the Filipino groups that were working with Binay had a conclusion that that this campaign has to be legal and political. It's legal in the sense that immigration has to be fought within the rules of immigration, and political because we already know that because it was a violation of a federal policy that it would be a no-win case for the legal if we have to only go by the legal means. The case of Melka rests on the policy of the federal government, which makes domestic workers live in with their employer for 2 years, within three. And for any reason that this is not followed, then it's ground for deportation. And in Melka's case, she was pregnant and gave birth to a son. So we think that this is not only a case of this is not only a discriminatory law, but with all this talk about women and family and creating the next generation, then there's also this at the same time a slap on the face of women who dare to violate the policies that are imposed on them. And so we embarked on a it was a campaign that lasted 9 months, and there were at least two deportation orders, and one that came from we fought it also on two legal appeals, one on the appeal for immigration appeal, and one as an appeal to the anyway. In any case, there were two appeals, which both at the end of the second one, Melka also had to hide. And so during this time of her hiding, we continued to we continued on the political campaign which included going door to door to the community. Everywhere we can be, we try to speak about the campaign. It was also a campaign that we said should have a very broad alliance work. And so we, even for us with the Filipino community, we're also experiencing the same thing that you are experiencing now, where people are not supporting the campaign because those that came before were already, you know, content with their life, and why rock the boat, you know? They are thinking that they were, she should have followed, and because she did not follow, it's her fault. But we tried to, what we tried to do is to, within this broad alliance, for the people who are, for the groups that are political and are really working for change, then this is when we brought up the issue of changing the policies, because it's discriminatory. And on the other hand, from those that are very conservative in nature, then we developed the analysis of of human rights violation, that this is a human rights violation, so we have to appeal to their sensitivity on that side of so that they themselves can participate and participate in many different ways. It could be signing petitions. For sure, we needed the money because Melka wasn't working at some point. Money needed to run, make leaflets and provide transportation to people going to speak here and there. But most importantly, we really made sure that it was not only a campaign in Montreal, but it was also a campaign in all the major cities in Canada. And we were able to do that through this wide coalition. I think the challenge is, of course, for the organizations just to know who they are, and that at the present time, this is the crisis. The task to do is to win this campaign. This is what we need to do. And in the meanwhile, all the different alliances works at different ways. So I think that's what we did for the campaign. And in the end, one of our gains is really having a good solidarity, start up a good solidarity with the networking with the many different groups that we know today. Whereas before, when we were starting, it was just working within the issues that affects the Filipino community. And so on the question in relation to immigration, why do the system allows for this to happen? Well, it is beneficial. It is immigration and all this uncertainty that is created by the capitalist system allows for a very for people to be in precarious situation. And when you're in a precarious situation, you will be accepting anything just to survive. And so these policies created by the Canadian government and the West is really not for the interest of the working people. It's for the interest of the capital, so that capital will flourish. And it really doesn't matter whether it has to be La Valenza or in Algeria or Placer Dome opening their minds in the Philippines. But it's also really right here. It's a trade in people. The more precarious people you create, the more you create conditions so that the capitalist system will flourish. So that there would be workers who would have no access to unionization, no access to benefits, workers that could easily divided and conquered. Ethnic communities that would have to all the time fight for their issues because they are seeing the problem so intense that they have to fight for their survival. And the challenge for us is to connect all these struggles so that we don't see that, like, not now at the moment with the impending war and a lot of mobilization about the war, the energies of people are in there. And we have to really make the links that all these struggles are linked together so that one victory that we create is really a victory for all. And its mobilization creates a momentum towards having at least a society that is livable, you know?
So,
I think that's... So, what to do? I want to end with what to do. What to do? I think for us, that there's no... We have to make to make it clear that we need to win this case. We need to work hard so that the case of the Algerians should be another victory and to energize us in all the other struggles that I'm sure we'll be facing, because there will be a lot.
You've been listening to a speech given by Tess Tessalona, one of the coordinators of Montreal's Immigrant Workers Center and a member of PNAI, Montreal's Filipino women's organization. Tess Tessalona addressed the struggles of immigrant and refugee communities in the face of the continued efforts of Citizenship and Immigration Canada to criminalize and attack immigrant and refugee communities. Tess spoke at a public forum on January 21st, which made the links between the fight to stop the deportation of Melka Salvador, a Filipino domestic worker, and her 5-year-old Canadian-born son, and the non-status Algerians of Montreal, who are currently resisting deportation to Algeria. To get more information about the Action Committee for Non-Status Algerians, visit www.tao.ca/tilde-sans-stat-ut. Call 514-409-2049 or email noone is illegal@tao.ca. This report has been produced for CKUT Radio in Montreal by Stefan Christophe.